Let's take the Bible, if you have that with you, we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 is the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning. And if you don't have your Bible with you, that's okay. We'll show it up here on the screen for you. But today is a special day, and we want to give honor to whom honor is due. And I want to thank again the Wissenden family for being here and allowing us to express our condolences and also our appreciation for Craig. I don't think I'll ever forget getting the word about Craig's passing, and my heart just broke for the family. And talked to Phyllis, and she asked if I would come up to the funeral home as they were making arrangements, as the whole family was there. And I can remember the feeling of complete ineptitude on my part to try to help in any way, shape, or form. I can remember thinking, what can I possibly say that would be of any comfort during this time? And I think that many of you know exactly how I felt, because many of you went to the visitation and went to the funeral and have talked to the family since then. And oftentimes, you just don't know what to say. Some people even have probably tried to avoid you because they didn't know what to say. And you want to help, and you want to say something that's going to encourage them and be a blessing in some way. And as the family has had people try to help them, they've probably heard a lot of phrases that people say whenever they want people to be encouraged. They say things like, you know, God has a plan for this. They'll say things like, you know, you're gonna make it through this. They'll say things like, man, I'm praying for you, and I believe in you. And I think one of the most common phrases that's come to mind and maybe even comes out of our mouth during times like this is this phrase: God won't give you any more than you can handle. I'm sure you've probably heard a lot of those phrases. And while the majority of us this morning have not had to go through what this family has had to go through in the last year, the majority of us have faced things that we would describe as difficult. Maybe you've even faced things that you would describe as incredibly difficult and potentially even overwhelming, something that was more than you could handle. When you're completely overwhelmed and you hear those kinds of statements, people say things like, God's got a plan for this, and they say things like, God won't give you any more than you can handle. While they mean to try to be a blessing, oftentimes you go away even more discouraged. Because you think, I don't know how they could say those kinds of things and understand what I'm really going through. I wanted to give a simple illustration to kind of show what it's like. I couldn't really illustrate this 100% properly because I wouldn't be able to. I want you to imagine this had a half a ton in it, 1,000 pounds. Now, some of you may be thinking, now, he probably could handle that, and you might be right, but I probably couldn't, right? But let's say this backpack had 1,000 pounds in it, and it was my lot in life for God to hand me this backpack with 1,000 pounds on it. Now, I work out occasionally, but I'm not going to be walking around for very long with 1,000 pounds on my back. Do you think? You know, if you think so, I've got a bridge I'll sell you after church. All right, just see me afterwards, okay? I'm not going to be able to do it. You know, I can act like I'm strong and say, I think I can handle it, but you're going to tell real fast, you can't handle this. And I'm going to be, my legs are going to start shaking, and I'm going to be trying to take steps, and eventually I'm going to cripple underneath the load that I'm carrying. I want you just to imagine for a second that you were carrying this thing, and you were trying as hard as you can to try to continue to operate through life with this on your back. And you're struggling, and you're trying to take the step, and you're wondering, I don't know how much longer I can go, and I'm not sure if I can do this. And then someone comes up to you and says, hey, God's got a plan for that. What? Someone comes up to you and says, God won't give you any more than you can handle. And you're thinking, are you kidding me? That's the best that you could say, that's supposed to try to help me? When people say those kinds of things, we're left trying to figure out what we missed, what we did wrong, or how we're supposed to live with this now in our lives. And so I want to ask the very simple question this morning is this: does God give us more than we can handle? Today we're actually starting a new series of sermons that we're going to call Out of Context, Ways That We Misquote Jesus. Because there's a lot of things that we tell people when they're going through trials, or a lot of things that we believe that we think that Jesus said them, but Jesus didn't say them, all right? And so I proposed to you this morning that one of the ways that we misquote Jesus is by telling people that God won't give you any more than you can handle. Can I tell you as plainly as I possibly can? Jesus never made that statement. Jesus never said, I won't give you any more than you can handle. As a matter of fact, he said the exact opposite of that. We'll see that in just a few minutes, but for now, I want you to see where this idea comes from, that God won't give you any more than you can handle. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. If you have your Bible, you can see it there. You see here on the screen, it says this: there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God's faithful. And aren't you glad that God's faithful? You know? Amen. I'm glad God's faithful. We're a Baptist church, so you can say amen if you want to, or nod your head, or just don't say anything. It'll be all right. All right? So, aren't you glad God's faithful?
Amen.
Hey, it'll go a lot faster, okay, if you just say amen right there, all right? I pay him to say amen, all right? No, it says God's faithful, and I'm thankful for that. But look what he says. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to what? Bear it. So what's he saying in this passage? He's telling us here that God won't give you any more than you can handle. He says, I won't give any more than you're not able to handle. And then he says at the end, he says, I want you to be able to bear it. I want you to be able to walk through life with that. But there's one glaring problem with this verse when we use it in that context. Do you see the words that are repeated here? I want you to notice them. He says, there hath no temptation taken you. It will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation. Somebody tell me, what's he talking about in this verse? Maybe you want to take a guess? Don't say amen right there. You say temptation, all right? He's talking about temptation. And what he's saying in this verse is he's telling us that I won't allow anything to tempt you in this life that you won't be able to say no to. Now, if you've been on a diet, you may argue with this verse because you've had a chocolate chip cookie that looks so good that if you put it on your forehead, your tongue might beat you half to death trying to get to it, right? So good to make you want to slap your mother. That's the way I describe it whenever I taste something really good. And they put that in front of you. Sometimes it's hard to say no, isn't it? Everybody's been on a diet, said amen, right? But God promised us here in this verse, he says, there's no temptation that you won't be able to handle because God's faithful to protect us. Aren't you glad that God's faithful to protect us from allowing temptation to come our way that we can't say no to? You know, he's faithful to protect us, and it won't be more than we can handle. And there will always be a way of escape when it comes to temptation. Can I tell you this? And I'm not going to preach on this because that's not what we're talking about. But let me just say this. You can say no to temptation. Everybody understand that? You can say no to temptation. Now, you may think, well, I was raised this way, and I've just got certain predispositions toward this. Can I tell you? You can say no to temptation because God's faithful. Not because you're faithful, but because God's faithful. I'm glad for that. You can say no to temptation. Here's another thing. You can avoid temptation. Right? Because he says, I'll make a way to escape so that you can avoid it. How many of you know it's a lot easier to avoid temptation than to have to resist temptation? You know, it's like, well, I'm going to try to stop drinking. I know a lot of people set out to do that. But there's a lot of temptation when they're still in the fridge, you know? And there's a lot of temptation when you're still hanging out with the buddies that are still hitting it hard and going to the bar and say, well, I'm not going to drink. I'm just going to have a soda, you know? That's a lot of temptation to say no to. It's a lot easier to avoid it than to have to resist it. You follow me? You can say no to temptation and you can avoid temptation. But when it comes to the trials of life, you can't say no to those. Those things hit you like a half a ton of bricks, and you can't say no to those. You can't say, no, God, I ain't going through that. I resist it. I refuse to allow that to happen. Well, it did. You can't say no to temptation, or I'm sorry, you can't say no to trials. And here's the other thing. You can't avoid them. We're all going to go through them. You can't say no to them, and you can't avoid them. So this verse is clearly not talking about difficult times. In no way, shape, or form does this verse apply to suffering, trials, burdens, or heartache. Please, stop telling people that God won't give them any more than they can bear. Please stop believing for ourselves that God won't give us any more than we can handle. I mean, I just want you to think for a moment. Think about all the different characters in Scripture and the things that God gave them to do. Anybody remember this old boy named Gideon? Gideon was going to go up against this Midianite army, and there was thousands of them. And Gideon said, all right, let's round up the troops. Let's get our A game in there, and let's get the ranks in. And they brought in all them, 32,000 men. And he goes to God and says, God, I'm ready to take them on. I'm ready to take them on like Donkey Kong, right? And here we go. And God says, no, I don't think you need 32,000. So he whittles it down and whittles it down and whittles it down. Does anybody know how many men were left whenever Gideon went to battle? 300. 300 men to take on an entire army. That's what God gave him to do. Do you think that that's more than he can handle? You better believe it was more than he can handle. Unless God did something, there was no way. How about old Daniel? You remember Daniel? We all know Daniel from Daniel and the lion, the whale. Yeah, no, that's Jonah, all right? Daniel and the lion's den, right? What did God give Daniel to do? He said, Daniel, I'm going to put you in the den with these hungry lions. I'm going to close the lid there, and you'll be all right. How many of you think that's more than Daniel could handle? How about Moses, whenever he's at the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army's coming his way, and God says, yeah, I want you to get all these people across the Red Sea. And he goes, they don't know how to swim. There ain't no way we're getting across there. It was more than Moses could handle. I mean, we could go on and on. We could talk about the three Hebrew children. Whenever they prayed and Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm throwing you into the fire. Do you remember that? Threw the three men into the fire. How many of you think that'd be a little bit more than I could handle? It was a little bit more they could handle too. But one of the good things that I want to tell you is that while God did give all of them more than they could handle, he was with them in the midst of it. Isn't that what happened with the three men in the fiery furnace? It was more than they could handle, but what did Nebuchadnezzar say whenever he looked into the fire? He said, man, didn't we throw in three? But it looks like there's four, and it looks like the Son of God. Can I tell you, God will give us more than we can handle. Consider what Paul said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8, Paul said this. He said, for we would not, brethren, we would not have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Do you see these phrases that he's using? You know what he's saying? It's more than I can handle. We couldn't do it. He says, we just decided we were going to die. God allowed us to come to this point. This is the end. We're going to be in heaven soon. He says, we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. There was nothing that he could do. He couldn't try any harder. He couldn't work any harder. His conclusion was, we're going to die. But look again at what he said here at the end. He said that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. We trust that he will yet deliver us. Can I tell you that unbelievable circumstances should lead us to the place where we say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you every moment, every hour. You're my strength. You're my protector. You're my shield. You're my rock. I cannot do this without you. When we believe that God won't give us any more than we can handle, it leads us to try to figure a way to handle it. If I believe that God won't give me more than I can handle, then I'm going to continue to struggle through life with this burden that is more than God intended for me to carry on my own. When we understand that God does give us more than we can handle, we see suffering as a reminder that we are not wired to live on our own. We're not wired to live on our own. We live in constant need of what only God can give. That's every single one of us. And whenever these kinds of things come into our lives and we're buckling under the pressure, you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. I need God to sustain me and to carry me and to do what I cannot do. You know, we can do nothing apart from Christ. He said it himself in John 15:5. At the end of that verse, he said, for without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing, much less carry this stuff, much less go through the trying times of life. We can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. You know, in the midst of trials, we may think, hey, I need the pain to stop. I need the bills to be paid. I need this sickness to be healed or this wayward one to come home. But can I tell you what we really need? We need Jesus. We need the Son of God. Some may think, well, I can't turn to God now because before this thing came, I didn't act like I needed Jesus. But and if I came to him now and said, Lord, I need help, I might look like a little bit of a hypocrite. But you know, we don't do that with a doctor, do we? I mean, you ever get sick and your wife says, go to the doctor. You say, well, I can't go to the doctor because if I go to the doctor, he's going to think I'm a hypocrite because I didn't really need him yesterday and I really need him today. You know, the reason you go to a doctor is not because you didn't need him. The reason you go to a doctor is because what? You're sick. You need help. You need him to do something that you don't know how to do. And that's how it is with God as well. Just think about this. How arrogant is it for us when we think that we can handle situations on our own? I mean, if you change the wording a little bit, instead of saying God won't give us, just say God won't give me more than I can handle. God won't give me more. You know what that's basically saying? Whenever we truly believe that God won't give me any more than I can handle, you know what we're basically saying? Say, I got this. I got this. And how ignorant would it be for us to look at somebody who's under enormous, overwhelming pressure and just barely making it. And they're looking and going, no, I got this. God told me he wouldn't give me any more than I can bear, and I got this. Well, I think that all of us understand we don't got this. We don't got this, but I love what old Tony Evans said. He's a preacher from down in Dallas, Texas, and he said him and his family have a little inward joke kind of thing that they do that whenever times get tough and they don't know what to do, he said they just hold up three fingers at each other. And whenever they hold up those three fingers, it stands for something to the family, and it reminds them of something. And the three fingers stand for three words. God's got this. God's got this. And I want to tell you today that if you're in an overwhelming circumstance, I don't want you to believe that God won't give any more than you can handle, because God will give us more than we can handle, because he wants it to drive us to him and to realize that this life cannot be lived without him. God's got this. You know, if it's not true, if that phrase, God won't give any more than you can handle, is not true, then how do you overcome a lie? You overcome a lie with truth, right? And so I want you to see this verse that many of you are probably familiar with. It's in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. He said this, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. Anybody ever heard that verse before? Maybe you saw Tim Tebow wearing it on his eye black in one of the national championship games a few years ago, you know. We see football players wearing them, and we see people holding them out in the crowd and those kinds of things. And when people see this verse, they use it to mean a lot of different things. I won't ask how many of you have ever gone on a diet and this was your theme verse. I can do all things through Christ. That chocolate chip cookie's just staring at you, yelling your name. Come on, eat me. It's going to be good. We're going to have good memories together. And you're going, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. People have used it to be able to lose weight. People have used it to try to win a ball game. Those of you that are in school, you ever been taking a test before? And you're like, ah, I didn't study last night. I slept through all my classes. I could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm going to pass this test. We use this verse for a lot of different things. But again, when we look at the Bible, we got to look at the Bible and what it's really saying. And this verse is not talking about losing weight. This verse is not talking about winning a ball game. And this verse is not talking about taking a test. Can I tell you what it's talking about? That right there. It's talking about the most trying times of life. The reason I say that is because when he says, I can do all things, he talks about the things, the all things here in the verse right before. And in verse number 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. You know what abased means? It means to be brought really low. He says, everywhere in all things, I'm instructed to be full. Amen. I enjoy being full. But he says, I'm instructed to be hungry sometimes too. And he says, both to abound and to suffer need. And then after he says that part of life is being abased and being hungry and suffering need, in the very next verse he says, I can do all things. What he's saying is that I can do all things through Christ. Now, a lot of us will see Philippians 4:13 and think, I can do all things. I can do all things because we believe God won't give us any more than we can handle. But let's not forget the rest of the verse. He doesn't just simply say, I can do all things. He says, I can do all things through Christ. You're not going to be able to do it without him. I'm not going to be able to do it without him either. Can I tell you that God allows us to have more than we can handle in order for us to see that there's nothing that he can't handle? You're going to see this time after time throughout Scripture, but the last place I want to show you is in Matthew chapter 5. This is the passage that is known as the Sermon on the Mount, probably the most famous sermon that's ever been preached, except for the one I preached last week. And probably the most famous sermon ever preached. And Jesus is talking to these Jewish people. And these Jewish people, they were pretty familiar with the law. You guys know what the law is? If you're not sure, the Ten Commandments, all right? They were pretty familiar with the Ten Commandments. And Jesus comes to them, and he's preaching to these guys who think, I'm good. I got this. And Jesus says, no, you don't. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. He says, you've heard it said of old time, thou shalt not kill. And they said, got that one. Followed that commandment. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you've killed anyone before. But I can't ask you to raise your hand if you've wanted to. How many of you guys would say, I've wanted to kill somebody before? Anybody? All right? Wow, we got some honest people here. I didn't think anybody raised their hand. Well, I just suckered you because listen to what Jesus said. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, this is what Jesus said, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. You ever been driving down the road and somebody cut you off, and maybe you didn't want to kill him, but you yelled, you, and we're in church, we're not going to say everything we said, but we'll say, you idiot, you fool, you. We think we're good, we think we can handle it, because the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. I hadn't killed anybody, but he says, yeah, but you've been angry without cause. You've called people fool. You know what that is right there in verses 21 and 22? You know what that is? That's more than I can handle. Because I'll be honest with you. Next time I get on the interstate, it seems like anytime I get in my car, I'm surrounded by idiots. How many are with me on that? The people that are driving the same speed as me and everything, they're all good. But if you're too slow or too fast, you're a moron, all right? And don't act like you don't think the same way when you get in the car. I have a problem with this. So do you. That's impossible. What Jesus asked them to do, impossible. Look at the next part of it. He says in verses 27, 28, you've heard it said, by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And maybe you say, yep, never done that before. But I say unto you, Jesus takes it to the next level, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, some of the Pharisees in the crowd probably, when he said, thou shalt not commit adultery, they're going, that's right, you're not supposed to commit adultery. I ain't done that, but I can tell you, they did. And they're pointing fingers. And a lot of times there's Pharisees like that in our churches today, too. But let's not forget what Jesus said. He said that you don't actually have to commit the act. He says if you just lust in your heart. And I won't ask you to raise your hand, both men and women, but I think that the overwhelming majority of us would say we've lusted in our hearts before, wouldn't we? I don't know about you, but you know what the answer is to this? Impossible. How am I supposed to live my entire life without ever lusting? Look at the next passage that he gives us here. This is all in the same sermon. You thought the sermon today was rough. I'm telling you what, Jesus was just getting on it that day. Listen to what he says in verses 20, 43 and 44. You've heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's right. Sounds good to me. I can love my neighbor and hate the people that are my enemies. I can do that. But I say unto you, Jesus wasn't a very popular preacher, I don't think. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. How many would say, I wish God would have left that verse out of the Bible? I'm with you. Because I don't want to bless my enemies. I want to punch my enemies. Right? I don't want to pray for my enemy. Oh, I take that back. I do want to pray for them. I pray that God would get them. You know what I mean? But I don't think that's what he's talking about in this verse. So in this passage, do you know what God, Jesus, is telling this group of people? He's telling them, if you want to be forgiven, if you want to spend eternity with me in heaven, that's all you got to do. Just don't ever get mad. Don't ever lust. And pray for your enemies and just bless them. And all of us are going, not me. I can't do that. There's no possible way that I can do it. The only response to this message is no one can do this. But here's the sad part of it, is that people even today will hear a message like this from Jesus and actually think in their hearts, I can do that. And I'm thinking, you're not real smart, are you? Because we can't do this. None of us can do this. But the good news is that there was one person that could, and guess what? He did. Who was that man? Jesus. Jesus was looking at them and going, look, I'm putting something on you that you cannot handle, but if you'll come to me, I will take that load and I will help you carry it. I skipped the verse earlier, but in Matthew 11, he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. All ye that are weary and heavy laden, come unto me, is what he said. Can I tell you the beautiful story of redemption is not beautiful at the beginning because every single one of us are guilty before a holy God. You're looking at a guy that has lusted. You're looking at a guy that has tried to get even with people. You're looking at a guy that's wanted to kill a few people. All right? If I were to stand before God on judgment day and he only judged me on those three things, guilty. And I'm looking at a group of people that are in the same spot. It's a load that's more than we can handle. But the good news of the gospel is that the innocent died for the ungodly. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ, he commended or he proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, even though we had so much sin upon our backs, he said, you know what? I want to take your sin off of you and I want to place it onto me. And Jesus took my sin and your sin and he nailed it to the cross that he shed his blood upon. And then after he died, 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. And when we come to him by grace through faith, trusting him, you know what he does to your sin? He totally annihilates it. He washes it with his blood that he shed on that cross. That's the good news of the gospel. The sad thing about these trying times of life is that there are many people that try to make it through without God. And I don't know how they can do it. And many of them don't. My heart breaks for them. We've got to turn to God. But the continued heartache is that many people that maybe haven't gone through something nearly as difficult as what this family has gone through, spiritually, all of us are laden with something that's more than we can handle. And yet many of us are trying to carry our sin thinking, man, as long as I'm faithful in a church, then God will take care of my sin. Or as long as I give enough money and I help enough people, and as long as I do more good things than I do bad things, then that sin will be taken care of. No, it won't. The Bible says that we're not saved, we're not forgiven by works of righteousness, which we do, but according to his mercy, the only way that we can be saved, the only way we can be forgiven is to come by grace through faith to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you love me, died on the cross, you were buried, you rose again, and I want to trust you to take care of this because I can't do it on my own. I was just a boy. I was 8 years old when I did that. And many in this room can testify that there was a day where you trusted Christ as your Savior. If you don't have a day like that, I would encourage you today to let him handle what you can't and come to him by faith, believing him. In conclusion today, I've got a blue light here. In 1989, Mrs. Dolly Craig wrote to COPS, which stands for Concerns of Police Survivors, that she would be putting two blue candles in her living room that holiday season, one for her son-in-law, Daniel, who had been killed in the line of duty while serving with the Philadelphia Police Department, and one for her daughter and Danny's wife, Pam, who had been killed in an automobile accident. Dolly is now deceased, but her idea is a legacy. Project Blue Light now burns bright in the hearts of the nearly 32,000 survivors of America's fallen law enforcement officers. COPS adopted this idea as a way for everyone to honor the officers who serve and protect us while remembering those who have died in the line of duty. Project Blue Light is a way of remembering our departed law enforcement officers across America, and the concept is very simple. You just place a single blue light in your window in memory of fallen officers. Today we have a blue light for every family that's here, and we'll have those for you on the way out, and we'd like for you to take one of those And if you have a place in your home or outside, we want to encourage you to take that and put it in your on your front porch or maybe in your window. And we want it to do what Dolly had in mind whenever she first thought of this. We want it to remind you of Craig and his family. We want it to remind you of others that have lost their lives in the line of duty and others that are currently serving. And I hope that it'll be a reminder, not just to remember them, but to pray for them. But can I add a little bit to it? I hope that whenever you see that blue light, it'll remind you to pray for them. But I hope it'll remind you of this. God's got this. I hope that when you see a blue light, you'll think, man, I'm going to pray for those families. I'm going to pray for those that are serving and protecting us today. And then I hope it reminds you that God will allow us to go through more than we can handle. But he's got this. He's got this. You might be heavy laden today. You might be drowning in debt. Maybe you're overwhelmingly angry. Maybe you're crumbling under the pressure of raising children or the inability to have children. Maybe a terminal disease or lost a loved one. Can I just tell you that you can't do this on your own? But with God, anything is possible. God does allow us to have more than we can handle in order for us to know that there's nothing that he can't handle. Let's pray together.